This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. Yes, the Bachelorette's over, but that just means we get to now talk about Bachelor in Paradise.
That's right.
And here again, that voice you hear is very familiar, and that is former Bachelor in Paradise contestant. I don't
in
know
my,
what you...
In my past life. Yeah, is, no, it's a... cast member,
resident cast member,
like that,
well,
like
Matt
that.
Munson, who was on Rachel's season of The Bachelorette and then Bachelor in Paradise briefly,
yeah,
but
a short time.
You give a very unique perspective to all this stuff that we've been seeing over these first 4 hours, because there's a lot going on, but really it all is like 2 days, basically.
Yeah.
But it took 4 hours for them to show it to us.
I know. They just really want to hit you over the head with these three or four essential storylines, basically. And I guess my perspective would be to try and convey to the listener what is sort of propped up in terms of drama, what is magnified, what is sort of exaggerated. And, you know, what is actually a bigger deal than it seems. And I think in this case, I mean, what you're seeing so far is as convoluted in terms of, like, what's happened before everybody got there. I mean, a lot of it is they're, you know, referencing seasons in the past. My experience was always that, like, things are just, you know, that it wasn't like within a big universe of, like,
right.
The Bachelor. And everything is so interconnected now, and everything is so almost, what do I want to say?
Well, it's all living in the same universe, and what happens is now you have so much more bleeding in from one season to the other, and this overlap that we just can't avoid, because whether it's them talking about texting and DMing and, well, who did you talk to before coming to this season? Who did you talk to before coming to this season? This idea that everyone has a person in mind that, forget about they want to meet, but they've talked to who they knew was coming to the show, like...
See, I didn't get involved in any of that, so I just went in blindly, and I think I was a rarity. I think most people, you know, reached out to somebody, and if that somebody didn't give them anything back, then they would just go to somebody. I mean, you're trying to find a lifeline, basically, because you want to hang around this place for a while. At least most people would. You would, right?
Yeah, if I had to take a month off from work and go to Mexico, the last thing... Well, first, you want to stay in Mexico.
Yeah.
But second, do you want to then crawl back to work and be like, yeah, those 3 weeks I needed off, never mind. I only needed the one.
I'm all set.
Yeah, that's a little deflating when you're supposed to, you know, trying to be like, yeah, I've got to leave because I got to go to this national television show. You know, you
sort of like getting,
you may have heard of it, Bachelor in Paradise.
It's sort of like, you know, not making it through night one in the mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
unless you're grocery store Joe, then
of course
that works out
but
well
that's,
for you.
That obviously
that's
is
one
the
in
exception.
A million, basically,
yeah, you make this big deal, go through all these rounds. I'm going on the show, and then I'm back home. Yeah. That was great. Cool. Yeah. Fly
and then you're
in,
hoping that
out.
It was such a short time that people forget that you even left in the first place. Really, though, it's true. It's true. You know, you want it to just be a blip on people's radar at that point, you know? But, man, yeah, it's just, I'm looking for the word here. You know, when family members get together, what am I looking for here?
Family dinner?
No. I'm talking like... When you're a distant relative and you didn't even know it and you hook up.
Oh, gee. Oh, it's incestuous. That's exactly what
this is
what
very
for.
Incestuous. I couldn't put my finger on it. I wasn't even close, actually, so I'm glad you helped me out. But this whole thing at this point is like seems very incestuous.
Totally.
And everybody is interconnected. You know, chances are somebody is friends with somebody who used to go out with so-and-so. It's just kind of like... There's no, I think what happens is like, you know, everybody has a similar experience. They go through the first show, obviously. I mean, it's the whole premise of Paradise. They go through The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, and somehow that is that one, I mean, instantly you can talk to each other about a one-of-a-kind experience that the other person has been through and that, you know, you can obviously relate to because you've been through it too. But, man... I never really, really got involved with anybody in Bachelor Nation, so I can't really speak to it. But after watching these past few nights, I'm kind of relieved. I feel like I made a lot of good decisions because it just seems like it's ridiculous and you can't even keep track of what's going on.
Well, and that's where we need to start because this whole Blake versus Christina versus Kaylin, this was 90% of the... This felt like Luke P again. It was... This whole episode, but really could boil it down to, well, it was Luke and then a little of other stuff. This was Blake and a little bit of other stuff. So let's just tackle the big elephant in the room right off the bat,
absolutely.
Which is Blake.
And let's just mention that we can finally take a full week off from Luke.
Yes,
pretty
exactly.
Much.
That'll be the last time I mention him, I promise.
We don't have time for Luke anymore.
I know. I'll put it in the swear jar. I'm sorry I mentioned Luke. That won't happen again.
We're moving on.
But Blake, oh my God. So the basic gist of this is... He was seeing Christina, and to what extent, I guess, would depend on which person you ask. But they were seeing each other. They go to, and then maybe sort of break up, but then rekindle or talk at Stagecoach, which is a big music festival. It's a country music festival.
Scene of the Crime seems like it was Stagecoach.
Stagecoach, so, which apparently is like a sex festival, but whatever.
Pretty much.
So it's basically like the country Coachella is sort of how I like like to call it. And
everybody just gets drunk and
and so he, Blake, that is, has sex with Christina, and they had a previous relationship plus the, you know, again, the bachelor connection, mm-hmm. very incestuous, fine. Then at Stagecoach, the next night, ends up having sex with Kaylin. These are the general facts that no one disputes.
Right.
Has sex with Christina, next day has sex with Kaylin. Yeah. That part... Everyone agrees on.
Yep, nobody's denying anything.
The details around the rest of it is where it sort of...
Gets to be a big gray area.
Totally, because Blake seemingly thought, okay, not the best situation, but it's beyond, it's past.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
I'm over, I'm done with it, we've moved on. Yeah. Even though when both of them arrived, he sort of freaked out.
Yeah.
And Kaylin is telling everyone, oh... He's making me keep this secret that we were together, and he said I was a mistake, and sort of putting all of it on Blake. Yeah. And it was gang up on Blake, and even though she said she had to keep the secret, she was seemingly telling more and more people as the night
told everybody.
Night went on.
Yeah.
And by the end of whenever their whole situation was, seemingly everybody knew. But while this is going on in on television, Blake apparently, you know, not able to take, you know, all this pressure that's been put on him or whatever, now releases these text messages between, alleged text messages between him and Caitlin, and she to this point hasn't disputed them, so I'm going to assume they're real.
Why, there's some, is there a party out there who thinks, or a group of people who think that those could have been generated somehow?
There
I hadn't heard that yet.
There are some bachelor conspiracy theorists out there who believe that they might be edited or not in their full, they're not complete. I want to say alleged because I'm not looking at it. I wasn't there. True. So let's just say alleged, but they look legit. It seems legit. And in these text messages, which he puts up on his Instagram story, Blake, that is, and then deletes them.
Unbelievable.
While he's crying on his Instagram story saying, I hope she can trust me.
Did he cry a lot on Becca season? Because he seems like a bit of a crier.
He cried a little and then a ton at the end. After she dumped him, it was like snot and everything.
Yeah.
And
there's been some snot in these past couple nights.
And all he's doing is crying now. But so he's crying on his Instagram stories, but then he goes back and deletes them. But don't worry.
Crying in the show, too.
Crying on the show, too. But don't worry. We've got the receipts.
Yeah.
At Bachelor Podcast. I put them up right on our main page. You can read through the pages of messages, which, again, I'm not going to read them, but the general idea is Caitlin is drunk and saying, okay, I want to come over, and Blake is the one saying, well, just a snuggle, and she said, no, sex.
Yeah.
And just sex, no feelings.
Telling herself that, you know, I mean, not to cut you off, but, like, it almost comes across, at least in my opinion, like she's telling herself it's going to be nothing more. It seems like she was really had a thing for him, and she was throwing the sex out there like, you know, you can have this with no repercussions.
No strings attached.
There's no strings attached.
Because he kept saying, well, that's what everybody says.
Yeah, no, feel free, take me, and then maybe, you know, she could use that to kind of hook him in a little bit in his defense.
But then there's future text messages.
Not that he's really defendable at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Nor do I want to.
And that's where I'm in this gray area, too, because I certainly don't want to defend this guy.
No.
Because just watching this show, I wanted to throw something at the TV. But reading these text messages, then they're both sort of worried about, oh, who knows? We're not going to tell anybody. And clearly someone they knew found out, and one of them told Cassie and Colton. And they're like, well, they wouldn't have told someone, but somebody told someone. And he was worried about what Hannah would think if Hannah found out. And I'm assuming it's Hannah G, because clearly he went to Paradise with this idea of, I want to meet Hannah G.
Okay, so then not to fast forward, because I sometimes do that, I know, but that is why, I guess I'm learning this now, that is why he went at the end to Hannah. That was his fourth girl in Paradise in two nights. Girls in two nights.
And that's a whole separate issue with him, because, and this is all part of the same thing, he gets a date card because, of course, I mean, these producers aren't brilliant for, like, nothing. You know, like,
yeah,
this
right.
is a great call. Like, yeah, he's the middle of this. Let's give him a date card. And everyone's assuming even then he's going to take Hannah. And it would make sense. Even
why digress?
We didn't find out later until how much he was into Hannah, and I'm here for you. If she was the only person you were there for and you had talked to her, why would you then go on a date with Tayshia?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, okay.
What are you thinking? Because then that opened the door for Dylan. Because up until that point, Dylan was even saying, oh, Blake's going to take her on a date and I'm going to lose my chance. And that's what should have happened. This kid just can't get out of his own way. And so let's say he's not at fault in the way Caitlin was making it seem like it for their thing. Fine. But he kept stepping in it just by his own actions here.
Yeah.
First, by not just going and talking to each of them right off the bat when they got there. Like this idea of like basically running and hiding.
Are you insinuating that producers might have pushed him in one direction? I mean,
I don't know that they pushed them in a direction, but clearly they saw he was in, at the time, just a triangle.
Right.
But
why not make it a square, basically?
Yeah, but with him wanting Hannah and then maybe Tayshia, now we're at least a square, maybe a hexagon? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not good with shapes.
Well, it kind of begs a question like, do you know ahead of time who's going to show up? I don't know that. Maybe he didn't know that, like, he was going to be bombarded. Maybe he didn't know Christina was going to be there. Obviously, he knew. He knew a couple of the girls would show up, but, like, he looks, every time somebody shows up, he looks completely shocked.
I think he might just be shocked at life in general.
His facial expressions are like, God, you couldn't be any more caught out. You know what I mean? Like, was that almost seemed like he was sort of adding on to that. I mean, there was like, he was so shocked that these girls, maybe that Christina came. Maybe Christina, because if I remember Christina a little bit, you know, she kept to herself. She's not very outspoken, and they didn't seem like they had a lot of communication leading up to it. So maybe she kept it to herself that she was going to go to paradise.
Which is fine.
But, so that takes care of one. So even if he didn't know that he was going to end up ultimately in a triangle, why go ahead and make it three different girls that you're attached to on one beach?
Especially if he clearly, leading up to paradise, was focused on Hannah, which not just the text messages tell us, but then he, in the very end of the episode, says, you were the person I was most interested in, you're the person I want to spend time with. Well, then why, when you get a date card, do you go with Tayshia? And Tayshia's great, by the way. This has nothing to do with Tayshia.
She's cool, yeah.
Cool, and she looked amazing.
Yeah.
Different. I can't quite put my finger on it. Yeah. I mean, I maybe could, but I won't. But she looked
amazing. Oh, okay, because I was wondering too.
There were a few people around the office. But either way, she looked great. She's always been fun. Obviously, she was amazing on Colton's season.
So maybe she just caught him off guard, and he just couldn't take his eyes off her.
Which is fine.
Or do you think that maybe somebody said, oh, you like her too? Well, we know who's coming in the back of our mind, so why don't we get you, invite her on the date? We know that Christina's on her way, and we also know there's this little talk between, you know, or that you and so-and-so had a relationship, so let's just see if we can make this a real cluster here.
When the producers
smell blood, I feel like they're just licking their lips.
Right, and you could totally see them saying, listen, Hannah's going to be here for a while, you're going to be here for a while, you'll have a chance at that. Hey, Tayshia is interested in you, you're interested in her, fine. But ultimately, he's the one, no matter what producer pushed him in what direction, he's the one that
picked her. No one's holding a gun to your head. That's what people need to do.
Exactly.
You can pick
whoever you want for your date. And so if he would have just picked Hannah, now the rest of the stuff still would have been happening. And so he should have still gotten ahead of that a little bit, at least by just saying, oh, hey, Kaylin, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, Christina, how you doing? Instead of running and hiding like a child.
Oh, God. It was kind of pathetic.
Right. And speaking of child, I don't know if you saw what your guy Dean tweeted out.
Oh, man, that was rough. No, I did read his tweets, actually, a couple hours ago.
It was awesome.
Awesome. And Dean is a smart dude. And for anyone who thinks otherwise, I'm here to tell you, Dean's a really sharp kid and sharp guy. And now, I don't know. I haven't really talked to Dean lately, so I don't know if maybe he and who's he rumored to be?
Well, he's another one who might have multiple ladies.
Yeah, but I think currently he's attached to...
That I don't know.
Oh, you don't know because you don't look into that. Okay,
exactly.
But I think if you were to follow up on that, you would see why he gets so defensive. Because I think he and she are together now, to some extent.
So what I would say though is, not many people, from what I saw following along, were really going after Blake quite as hard as they were on the show. Like there were on the show, clearly he was public enemy number one, but it seemed like most of the stuff I saw on social from Bachelor Nation
was mostly supportive.
Mostly supportive about text specifically. Like, you know what, tell your truth, tell your story, all this. But this is the only thing I'll read verbatim all episode, but this jumped out in Dean's tweet, which said, a quote, public figure sharing private text messages in an attempt to salvage whatever is left of their fragile ego. Mm-hmm. Calling it childish would be disrespectful to children everywhere. Damn!
That's rough.
But not wrong.
No, that's pretty much perfectly said.
But that leads to the second part of this, where when Jed's girlfriend shared the text messages, everyone was like, that's right, girl. Like, totally.
Right.
Burn him. He deserves it. Blake does it. And the public, generally speaking, and not the Bachelor public, but people like me, just the fans watching, are kind of like, ooh, should you really be sharing these public these private text messages publicly? Even though, when you look at it, he was backed into a corner and he saw this as very clearly saying, see, I was right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was in the right here. I was wronged. It's a very interesting
contradiction.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because we saw it 3 weeks ago, the reverse, and everyone was cheering it.
Do you think it's like a guy-girl thing?
I don't know the answer to that. And I don't,
And the girl gets...
Now, she wasn't a public figure.
Two thumbs up.
And, you know, she was really just struggling privately, because before she went to People Magazine, none of us knew she existed.
Yeah, well, I think if I were to break it down, I would say that most people thought that Jed's ex got burned, so she was the victim. I don't think anybody, again, four girls and two nights, I don't think anybody feels like Blake is the victim here. So I think, you know, the initial thought from people is like, take the high road because you're the one, regardless of how it went down. Most of this damage has been caused by your bad judgment. So you don't get to sit here and try to, like, defend yourself, basically. Because one way or another, you're the one who, the F-boy.
Certainly don't want to paint him out to be a victim.
No. I'm just saying, like...
I do wonder just where this goes with him, because I don't want to stand here and defend him. Like I said, he's not a victim. But at the same time, Kaylin's story doesn't totally add up.
I just get lost trying to think, like, even Christina's remarks, it's now like she's defending Blake, which kind of confused me, because I feel like she's been burned by Blake too, obviously. I mean, there's no...
Totally.
Yeah, there's no question mark there. So I guess you're starting to see, in, like, within Bachelor Nation, basically some sides developing, and there's like a line in the sand. And I can't really understand. I saw a lot of the guys from Blake's season kind of come out in his defense. I don't think anybody really, though, from what I've read, really thinks that it was a good move to share private text messages. That I don't think anybody really, I mean...
There were a few of those, absolutely, who didn't defend it, but sort of comforted him. Like, you do what you got to do, you know, you asked me about this.
And they said no.
I said, don't do it. This isn't a great idea, but you have to live your life and make your decisions.
Because I think more people have respect for somebody who just takes the high road and you know, takes their medicine. And that's what he could have done. So,
and they will have the chance to tell their story on the after show.
Exactly.
So he could have sat on it and said, without even showing the text, waited, and at the end when people are ready, like knives out, say, I have text messages from Kaylin that very much paint a different picture. But you know what? She knows what the truth is, and if she still wants to come out here and attack me, it is what it is. I think that would have been the way of going the high road and still getting the word out there, just not in real time like he ended up doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for trying to be reserved, you know, remaining private, and... I think he could have saved face a little bit, but now it just seems like, you know, he has no self-control at all. He can't handle, he can't handle all this, but he was the one really, I mean, if you take him out of the equation, none of this stuff would happen. I mean, he's the common denominator in all these, you know, hookups. So, you know, either way, if you didn't want to bring all this on yourself, then... You know, like you said, he should have came there, and he probably could have put that all in his past if he went for Hannah. I mean, that would have been, I like your point the best. I think that would have been the best way to move on. And then it would have minimized and put everything else and all the mistakes that he'd made kind of in his rear view. And then he could have just focused on a future with Hannah. And now it just seems like he's frantically breaking down. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he came across like a good guy in his season, so he's had a good edit, and maybe he deserved it. Maybe he did all the right things. So there was going to be no such thing as a bad edit. But finally, you know, that like other side of you comes to the surface, and that's what people are seeing now. And obviously, it's very regrettable for him. But one way or another, it happened. I mean, I like some of the moments with him talking about, oh, when my family sees this, it's going to be a nightmare, and you know, this isn't going to be good, and this is going to destroy me, and you know, so by you saying that in your interviews and stuff, it's telling all of us that, I mean, I don't think he's running away from it. He knows he's wrong. He knows that he's made his bed here. But
and as Christina said, well, I hope you change the sheets. Oh my God,
that was the best.
One of the best lines of all time.
Classic.
Good job, Christina.
Classic. But you know, I think he's just seeing, you know, the story of a guy who lived the year of his life after his, you know, overnight fame, just having a great time, and you know, thinking he could get away with stuff. And, you know, he could take people for granted and take advantage of people, and that it would never come back to bite him. And we're seeing it come back to bite him.
And
right now,
Here's the thing where we get back to the incestuous nature of this show. Mm-hmm. So everybody likes Blake coming off of The Bachelorette.
Liked Blake, at that moment, are pro Blake.
Everything's going great. Why, knowing you are planning on going to Paradise and going through this again, why would you decide you're going to hook up with two girls, fine, or three girls, or five? I don't care. Hook up with a different girl every night.
Yeah, right.
Why are you doing it with girls from the Bachelor universe?
Ignorance.
When you
ignorance
know you're going to go to Paradise.
Yeah, that's why it shouldn't have been this, like, oh my God, shocked moment when
How
he sees
this. How could this happen?
Chances are most of the girls, unless you see them in a brand new relationship in, you know, March or April, chances are they're going to walk down that path on the beach and end up doing this show with you, and you're going to be in murky waters. So, you know, can you show some self-restraint for a few months while you're getting ready to go on the show?
But just bang, quote, regular women. Why do you need to have someone who's from the Bachelor universe?
Yeah, see, I mean, there is some sort of draw to that incestuous
and draw is the right word, though, because that's the other thing that was bothering me as I'm watching this show, and I tweeted it from Bachelor Podcast as I'm watching the show last night, because Blake, even let's say everyone likes him and he's the nice guy, does he have a magic penis too? Like, because I don't get it. I don't understand this. Even before the dislike portion of where you saw, like, oh, he's kind of skeevy, even coming off of Becca's season, like, what about him is that good? Like,
well, I don't know.
But all the girls that were there were like,
I wish Katie was here because we could have a female opinion. But I mean, all the opinions that we've heard so far have been really high on this guy. I mean, everybody seems to think he's this, you know, dreamy, you know.
Every girl
beautiful
there,
beautiful dude.
Every
that,
girl
like,
there
got
mentioned
it together.
Blake. Every girl wanted to hang out with Blake.
I mean, I wonder. You know, he was very visible on his season. Obviously, he made it to the end. So, you know that, like, there were a couple others that are taken, right? I mean, Colton's taken. Who's the fourth guy? Or the third guy?
From that season?
Yeah. Jason, was it? I thought it was Jason, right?
Ended up with Jason.
So he's out. So, I mean, your lasting impression of that season is sort of the last six, seven guys, right? And now you watch this current season, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of his competition going in. Like, how many other guys? I see Clay is on the beach now. People are loving Clay. He's this big, just hunk of man. You know what
I mean?
He's a big guy, and he's very soft spoken. So I mean, I can see how, you know, he could lure you in.
But even before the show,
but like, I'm just trying to see what the guy's competition was. But they all seem to be all about Blake.
But what
maybe
I'm saying
that's because
is,
he was like
forget
stood
about
out in the pack,
on the
know?
Beach. But yes, that's part of it. I don't understand how every girl there was like, oh, Blake. How does he get two different girls from, like, what makes Christina and Kaylin all of a sudden be like, oh, Blake?
I don't know. That's true. With no real, like, Kaylin never, or Tayshia. I mean, all of a sudden he walks through the door and she's all in on him too. So I don't know. I don't know. Beats Even me. He's got something going
like,
on.
Like on the show, it's hard enough to like understand. But then Kaylin and Christina obviously could have their choice of any gentleman out there because they're both very smart. They're both very. They're both gorgeous.
Yeah.
They seemingly, you know, depending on what's true and not from this situation, both seemingly have their heads on straight. Like, it's not as if they'd be struggling to find someone to date, but they go to Blake?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I just couldn't process. I'm still, as you can hear, I can't process this. What is about Blake that, like,
no,
is it a beer can down there? I don't know what's happening.
I'm with you. I don't see it either. But, like, I'm trying to think of who else, who would have been the real, you know, odds-on favorite to be the guy in Paradise.
Right.
Like, going in, I don't really know if you had anybody that really jumped off the page.
Certainly not of the guys that are there right off the bat. Absolutely.
So, I mean, you got to go for the best available. And when you look at everybody, I mean, I thought JPJ was going to be a bigger deal than he. But he's kind of the funny guy. He's not like the sexy, muscular dude. He's more of like the comedic relief. So I'm just thinking of like Clay. There's him. There's the guy from like 6 or 7 seasons ago, Chris. He seems now, Christina is, last we saw, sort of trying to maybe land a rose from Chris.
Well, and that's a whole nother situation because Annalise, who, if it wasn't for Blake, would be absolutely roasted right now.
Oh, yeah.
And most people, I mean, she got some of it, but most of it was overlooked because of the Blake stuff.
You mean trying to bring down Clay like she would was?
Just everything.
Everything,
from
saying,
well, I'm not here to talk trash, and then going out of her way to do nothing but talk trash.
And deciding, I found her obnoxious last year, too.
Totally.
So now here she is again, and up to the same crap, and you know, it was nothing but tears with her last year.
She was ready to be engaged after like an hour with someone.
With like a few different guys, right?
Just, yeah, it was all in. Oh my God, there's never anyone ever again. I really could see myself. Then that doesn't happen. She breaks down. Oh my God, this is the end of everything, whatever. And then an hour later, someone else shows interest.
Walks through the
and
door.
It's like, I could see us getting engaged.
Crazy, crazy.
And, you know, Demi, who is happy to call people out, was, you know, when she heard, I think Annalise was expecting everyone to be like, yeah, you go, girl. And Demi wasn't having anything. Like, why are you doing that right then and there? Like, no.
She's quick to call people out on
like,
the crap.
How
That's
about
cool.
you don't do that? And Annalise was sort of taken back because I do think she was expecting people to
side with her.
Totally.
Because she was sort of calling, you know, another guy out who,
yeah, she was trying to do, in her mind, the right thing, but I think Clay handled it pretty well, even though he was ambushed right before he was going out.
Yeah, he misinformed. He kept saying that, you know.
And he's like, I get it that you're friends, because he even recognized it right away when she tried to say, he's like, yeah, I know. Like, and I get why you might not want to come and chat with me, because
I
broke up with your friend, or we broke up, whatever. But yeah, you don't have all the facts.
No, right.
You know, we've been broken up.
Mind your own business.
Just because you decide that I'm not ready to be here yet.
Well, that's where, you're right. That's where it did get into another gray area. Because who's to say that your opinion matters on whether or not I'm ready to find someone new? I mean, I don't see how Annalise has any right to say that, you know, Clay is or isn't ready to start a new relationship.
It just,
you could have your version of how it went down between the two of them when they were breaking up.
Totally.
But you don't get to tell him if he's in a good place to start fresh.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
And especially since you're clearly not a neutral party.
No. Right,
it was your
right.
friend that was wrong, which Clay acknowledged.
Yeah.
I understand she's your friend, and so we're not gonna chat.
Yeah, we're
and
not going to be
fine.
Friends, really.
Yeah, we're not, and that's fine.
This summer.
But you're going to tell me about what our relationship was like, or that now that it's over, that I'm not ready to be here, or that I shouldn't be here.
Who are you?
Yeah, and just totally off her rocker.
Yeah, you're
and,
friends with her. You're not friends with me. You have no clue of what's going on in my mind.
And there are
know?
Two sides to every story. So, like, yeah, I was talking with my girlfriend about kids and houses and, you know, stuff you
That's
talk about
do.
Your girlfriend
yeah.
with. and then we broke up. So I'm going on dates now.
Yeah.
What is this idea that you couldn't get through your head? But then it was, and I shouldn't say awesome because it sounds mean, but it was awesome to see her trying to talk to Bibiana, who was upset that she, you know, there were no roses out there. She didn't think. She's like, it's okay, you know, not everyone's so lucky to have a connection, and basically trying again, like last season, trying to make it out like she has this huge relationship with Chris, who she's again spent like 10 minutes with.
Yeah.
And as she's saying that, Christina steals him
away. God, yeah. She is sort of like the joke of paradise. I mean, I think that again, her finding it so strange that like Clay and his ex had been talking about marriage and houses and kids, it sort of exposes her for maybe you've just never really had a relationship because people steer clear of you and you haven't had a lot of guys. You know what I mean? That's what people do. And then you move on. You know what I mean? And it's difficult, but like that's life. But maybe, you know, it doesn't take a lot of guys too long to realize that maybe, you know, starting something up with you isn't the best idea. And as we've watched as viewers now 4 or 5 times, I think, with guys in paradise. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of her, but
because we still haven't gotten a rose ceremony. So if we get this first rose ceremony and Chris gives his rose to Christina,
yeah,
I can't even imagine what
she's
Annalise
gotta be
is
all
gonna
done,
do,
right?
But well, because who else is gonna?
I don't know.
Want to give her a rose? I mean, yeah. And if anything, I think Demi might escort her out because he's like, "Grandma's not on her medicine." Here we go.
Right, that was fun. Like, she is funny.
Go, man.
She's funny.
And if you've listened to this podcast for a while, thank you. But you also know that I was not a fan of Demi's, both on her season and then even last year. Playing the spy.
Yes, that was my last.
I didn't dig that
impression of her.
She's awesome in paradise.
Yeah.
She is built for paradise. And if things don't work out with whoever she ends up leaving with, whether it be Derek or someone else, bring her back every year because she's awesome. This is like
fits
her
right in there.
Show.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get an opportunity in paradise to, you know, whereas if, you know, it hasn't worked out for you yet. Now this is sort of your redemption story, right?
And I think
so. She just fits in perfectly there.
Well, and I think her personality is so—it's just so much better for this show than Bachelor or Bachelorette, no matter what role she's playing. Because comedy, a lot of times, especially when it's her kind of comedy, and I can't even quite explain it, but that blunt in-your-face comedy falls flat a lot. On The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Because it's very dramatic.
Exactly. And
here it's very lighthearted.
Yeah,
and
it's just totally perfect for her. And I hope she sticks around all season. I just hope we have her right until the end.
If everybody on the beach is enjoying her like you are, which I'm sure they are, they're going to probably find a way to keep her around for comedic relief.
I mean, she's great.
Somebody will give her a friend's rose or whatever, you know. But
maybe,
she's fun. So
yeah, and
it'd be a good thing.
So even though we didn't get a rose ceremony, there's sort of couples that you think, oh, well, again, Demi and Derek, like, oh, that seems to be working out. And then it's, oh, Dylan and Hannah G, because Dylan was like, oh, like we talked about, it's over. Blake's going to take Hannah. And then he, for his credit, stepped in and tried to sort of make it happen. And super awkward, but really both of them were. And it was sort of cute.
Yeah.
Seemed to be working.
And now you see Will's trying to
sneak in there.
And that
was, so, obviously, I know you're a big Will's fan, as am I, have been from the minute we saw him.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to watch when, like, first he makes his move and it seems to work. And then she has to come back and say, yeah, I don't want you to waste your rose.
Oof.
Like,
oof.
And then he starts crying.
Yeah.
Like, don't do Will
there's no,
like
I don't
that.
Think he's tried with anybody
he,
else,
he
right?
Has, the guys have the roses. So, I mean, he can pick someone.
Yeah, right, right.
I guess you just sort of see who's left and be like, I guess you. I don't know.
True.
Like,
yeah, I keep having to remember that. The guys have the roses. So
but,
they're all going to be safe for
and that's
a week.
The weirdest thing because Blake doesn't have anyone. You know, maybe. And Will's doesn't have anyone. But they have the roses. Yeah. So they have power. But, I mean, Will's at this point... Like, he was all in on Hannah, and she just, like, it's like, you can actually freeze frame where his heart breaks, and I just felt so bad for him.
Feel bad for the guy, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Because this is 2 years in a row now. He didn't make it passed the rose ceremony last year, right?
I don't think so. Maybe that's why they gave it to the guys. They're like, we got to keep Wills around. Like, everybody likes Wills. How can we get rid of him?
True.
And so, so you think, okay, she turns down Wills to go back to Dylan. So clearly that's fine. Mm-hmm. Then somehow Blake decides he's going to have another girl and does this whole thing with candles and brings Hannah over, and I'm thinking she's going to do the same thing that she did with Wills and say, oh, thanks, but no thanks.
But she's a little more into it, even with everything she's heard about him. We can't put our finger on it, but there's something drawing people in with Blake.
It makes no sense. So she kisses him, and then he's even still sort of unsure after the kiss, like, oh, are you... But she did say, well, it's only week one.
But man, I mean, again, when I started... When we kick things off today, I thought that my insider's perspective might be helpful in trying to figure out what the producers and the creators of the show are trying to make a bigger deal out of than really there is for certain storylines. But no way that I don't think you could drum this up. I mean, it's as bad as it looks. And it's just getting worse, really, by the day. And, you know, you'd like to say, well, he walked into a buzzsaw, but nah, because why, you know, you knew you were going to come on the show, like we said, so why wouldn't you just try to keep your nose clean for a couple months? So, I mean, he gave them just a huge window of opportunity to, you know, kind of tear down his reputation. If he thought his reputation was so wonderful before, which it sounds like everybody did love him before this whole thing started, I mean, I'm sure if you're him, you probably wish that you'd never even went to Mexico and maybe just left well enough alone after Becca, because, you know, I don't see how this gets cleaned up for him. I don't see how
do you bounce
he
back
gets
from
back
this?
On the right side of it, you know?
I don't know.
And last night sure didn't help. I don't care one way or another. No. I mean, you know, you can argue whether or not showing the text messages was a good idea, but one way or another, it didn't do him any favors. It didn't, you know, it just, even if, you know, people can read in these texts that maybe at the time you weren't in the wrong, you still just seem like a douche because you could have just kept those in your phone and like you said, waited to the after show and then tried to clean things up then. But now you just look like somebody who, you know, like Dean said, just tried to save
his ego.
His already fragile ego.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're just watching the kid basically in this downward spiral.
And because they have the roses, the guys, he's going to be around.
Yeah, he's
going
to be around.
So he's not going away, at least initially. But where, you know, you've been there, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Blake go from here?
I don't know.
Being on the beach, where
does
he go?
He should have, if he wanted to avoid this, which, not to digress, but if he wanted to avoid it, he should have just went for Hannah right off the bat.
But he didn't. We're here.
We're here.
What does he do on the beach?
What does he do from here? I mean, I guess... It sounds like Tayshia's out, right? Or Kayshia's out, I'm sorry. Kayshia's out.
She said she was, but...
I'm trying to figure out what his options are.
I mean, that's why, does he just go all in for Hannah? He's not going to give her a rose this week, because that's going to, you would think, come from Dylan. But, so then does he just give sort of a, find out who's left and be like,
because Christina's moved on.
Does he cut a rose
she's
deal?
Out. I don't know.
I don't know that any of these women are going to want to reciprocate, even if they do. They could just lie to him, I guess. Say, oh, yeah, sure. And then just ignore him and give actually try to find someone.
I don't know.
Especially with new people coming in.
Yeah, I mean, maybe somebody new walks down the path and knows nothing about what's already been going on.
If Tayshia's out and, I mean, there's Katie. There's Jane, who we haven't even talked about. You want to talk about off the reservation. He's seemingly going all in on Hannah G. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Demi. It's not going to be Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be Onyeka. Where does he go?
I have no idea.
I mean, other than, like I said, just waiting to see who's left and saying, unless they make him pick first, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
And just pick, you know, say, yeah, I got a feeling you deserve a chance at love or something, you know, some line that I'm sure he'll come up with. Which we've seen before. People keep other people around just so they can do their thing. It happens.
True, true.
As you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's a distinct possibility that may happen too. Maybe, yeah. Maybe he does that. Maybe he just offers up his rose and sort of becomes like the sacrificial lamb, and maybe he decides this is all too much and the damage has been done, and maybe he takes off. I mean, that's a possibility. That would be interesting. I wouldn't rule that out, actually. But I think at this point, you kind of got to try to move forward and see if you can make Hannah really believe that, you know, initially, she was who you wanted. Before all this happened, and, you know, I needed to go through all this to find out, you know, the error of my ways, but, like, I want to move forward with you, and I can try to be a better man or something. I'm sure there's some way he can spin it in his favor, but I think the other options are off the table. I
mean, you would think. And the only other interesting thing, I don't know about you, but for me from these 4 hours, was the little bit we got of John Paul Jones, first with Onyeka, who braided his hair. Don't know if it's a look he wants to stick with, but it was still funny to watch.
It's an option for him.
And his kissing, which
turned into puking, right?
Well, yes, we'll get there.
Okay.
But the kissing, which, I mean, I guess, especially if you want the rose, you have to say, like, oh, he's such a good kisser, but it looked like almost fish kissing. Like, it was, he put, like, the whole round of his mouth, and I don't know what was happening. Almost like a CPR type thing, but it wasn't. Very confusing to me.
I predicted that he was going to be a big deal in Paradise, and I think he is, because, like I said, he's kind of the, you know, funny surfer dude.
He definitely is. Everybody seemed to be talking about him, even if in short bursts, you know, how he was sort of like squirrel, you know, he's like talking one thing and then, wait, oh, there's a camera there. Oh, yeah, I got to make sure I look okay for the camera.
He's all over the place.
But then, so Onyeka, that thing's going on. And then Jane, who, like I said, a little bit out there.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot out there.
So maybe they belong to you.
Brings tacos. And immediately makes him throw up.
Yeah. Which, spicy, right? He didn't have it. It was too spicy.
I hope it was just spicy and she's not, you know, basically trying to kill him.
Oh, my God.
And he just starts heaving on the beach. And every time he'd say, I'm okay. I'm okay.
You think it was on purpose or you think he really?
I'm sure he played it up a little.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's JPJ.
Yeah.
Or John Paul Jones. Sorry. John Paul Jones. But it just, this constant, I'm okay.
Well, even in the bloopers, actually, if you waited to the very end.
Yes.
He was in the bloopers, too.
And, like, no, there ain't nothing right. He can say, I'm all right.
But he's not all right.
He ain't all right. But other than that, I don't know, like, was there, because it seemed to be the Blake show. I mean, was there anything else?
The Blake show. You know, well, we could talk about coming attractions, you know, what we saw for the whole year. What I meant to say to you, or I think I did already mention to you, Mike is definitely there, definitely on a date.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to become a cast member on the show.
Yeah, the two people they focused on were Jordan and Mike.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan, who had sort of been public enemy number one and then sort of got a little bit of redemption.
Right. Jordan, yeah,
partially
yeah.
Partially due to text messages coming out or right. DMs or one of them. Yeah. So he, oddly enough, has sort of had this experience.
Back again.
And then Mike, yeah, who we can, who knows?
Where are we left now? And then we heard about Tyler hooking up with the model, right?
Right after he was with Hannah. So,
but either way, it makes him sound more available and single than taken. So I almost think that, like, because if he's moved on from Hannah because he was hooking up with
the Hadid.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's single and ready to mingle. So that would, to me, put him in the Bachelor.
That's interesting
conversation.
Because I thought the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
I thought, so maybe, trust me, I think he'd be a good Bachelor. He's still on Team Mike, and I hope it's Mike, but
sounds like he's out there having a good time.
He clearly
trying to
is,
figure it out for himself.
But I almost thought, because he is dating very well-known people, whether it's the Bachelorette or a Hadid, which, you know, in the world of pop culture doesn't get much bigger right now than either of those two.
I think, like, Michael Strahan said it yesterday, he couldn't wrap his head around it. He's like, how does this guy who was on a reality show end up dating a supermodel? He's like, that usually doesn't happen.
It usually does not, but also most reality stars do not look like Tyler.
True.
Let's be fair.
Yes, you're right.
And I still am holding out hope that he will make it work with Hannah, but she was cool with it. I mean, she was, you know, she said, hey, we're just casual. We hung out. It's not like there was anything serious. It was just like our fantasy suite. We were just talking, getting to know each other.
I'm sure they had some stuff that they left on the table that they just wanted to clear up with one another. And, you know, that was a few months ago, and they decided that they wanted to leave it in that time and place. And
because when
you know,
he was pictured on the date, it was immediately, like, everyone's trying to make it out, like, oh my God, he's screwing over Hannah, whatever. And God bless her. She was like, no, it's cool.
No, it's all good.
We're just,
it's
super casual. Like,
yeah, I mean,
no problem.
That's the problem. I feel like, you know, the people that are super fans, they just automatically see two people in the same place, like any other, you know, pseudo celeb, because I don't want to. But, like, you know, you just assume because you see two people at the same time, the same place, that they're going to make a go of it. I mean, they have a lot of respect for one another. They hadn't seen each other in a while. They wanted to catch up, maybe see if the flame was still burning.
Sure.
But simple as that. Didn't mean that they were going to, you know, get back on the altar and finish what they started. They just were checking in with one another. So it seems like he's moving on from that, whether or not this thing with Gigi Hadid works out.
But that's the thing. Are you going from dating Gigi to...
I guess you're right.
Going to... And well, no, I might not be.
But one date doesn't mean anything. You know, maybe...
Once you've been to the big leagues,
well,
do you want to go back
to
the minors?
Saying. I see what
you're
saying.
You're in the show. You want to stay there.
Maybe. So you would say maybe for him, he feels like he's sort of beyond the Bachelor.
I do. I think that once you get to a certain point, whether it is, again, dating the Bachelorette, the star, after the fact, and then even going higher and dating a supermodel who's worth... much money.
With the slim possibility that the two of them end up together, I mean...
But then even that dating pool is what I'm saying. Is
You
know, we talk about incestuous Bachelor, so are so many of these celebrities. You know,
true.
You see like, oh, wow, that person dated A, B, C, D, and they're all okay, and then they date... So now that he's been seen dating Gigi, oh, well, does that mean...
just going to go for Jane Doe, basically?
Yeah, I think...
Until they offer him $250,000... For 2 months worth of work being the lead.
Right. And that's the thing.
And
is he,
seeing if he finds
also,
somebody that fits
that
for
that's a
him.
Great point. This allows him to negotiate a much larger salary than they would give to a normal Bachelor.
Yeah.
So that is an amazing point.
I think that's usually the average. So, you know, he could go for the high end.
And that's
of that.
The thing. There is no set salary. It's
no, it's negotiable.
They obviously like to stay around a certain number, but yeah, maybe he's. He has that argument and says, oh, you know, I don't know. Me and Gigi might go out again next week. Hmm. Oh, $500,000?
Yeah.
For, like you said, a couple
maybe
months'
I'll
work?
Maybe tell her to, you know.
After all, it actually was kind of cash.
Tight.
It's cool. We're just friends.
Yeah, exactly.
We can reconnect in 3 months. So that's,
that's
a good point. I will say that. And I would like to see him there if Mike isn't the one, because he's still my guy.
You don't know. Mike could end up with somebody off of this.
Which would be awesome as well.
Yeah, so maybe it's, you know, the opportunity isn't there for him to become the Bachelor. And then you end up with Pilot Pete, maybe.
Which I'd also be okay with. I think there are Pete, Mike, and maybe Tyler. I think those three are three solid choices. But if all of a sudden Tyler's not interested in anymore and Mike is with someone from this show... And then you're left with just Pete. And I don't want to say because I like Pete. But let's say Pete doesn't want to do it or can't do it or whatever. Then we're back to square one. Well, where the hell do we go?
I don't know. We got about a month to find out.
And then maybe we, you know, because you don't want another Ari situation.
Yeah.
But there is always the celebrity route. They could find someone.
True. Doesn't
you know,
seem
obviously
like...
it didn't work out with Jesse Palmer, but you could go that route.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't seem like they would prefer to do that, but I guess if push came to shove. I don't know. That'll be the big question for about a month from now. But in the meantime,
we've got paradise.
We've got a lot of time to spend on the beach.
And I don't know if next 4 hours are going to be all Blake too, but
it kind of seems like it. Weren't the first few episodes all about Colton last year, and we kind of got inundated with...
That's true, because we finally had to get over the Tia thing, and so I just hope we see a little bit more and or just figure out whether he's going to have this... They're going to try to get this redemption arc thing going, whether it's Hannah or one of the new girls that comes in, because we know he's staying through the rose ceremony unless he sends himself home.
Could he end up all alone, but with a complete change of heart, knowing that he needs to really take a hard look at himself and try to do better, and maybe his opportunity to do better is as the Bachelor?
No, sir. Ray, you throw that out, all right, but you throw it in the trash.
Okay, yeah.
No, thank you.
Well, especially like...
Hard pass.
Especially, I just don't see... I guess if you're in panic mode and you're, you know... You're hurting so bad that you think what might ease the pain is to trash somebody like that. And again, even if it's true and she was the one to blame, keep it to yourself. There'll be a time and place for you to, you know, tell your side of the story. But I mean, I just think he made it a lot worse. Sometimes no action and just leaving well enough alone and knowing that your time will come around where you can, like, you know, defend yourself, tell the story. I feel like that's always the right move to make. Why in the heat of the moment do you ever start digging around on your phone, taking screenshots, and putting these private conversations out for the public to see? I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. I think one way or another, he's going to strongly regret that in the near future.
Well, maybe it's next week. Well, he won't certainly. He didn't release, but...
No, the fact that he's getting, like, on you know, both ends of this. In, you know, watching the playback of the show and in real time. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like he's getting it from all angles. So I wouldn't want to be him right now. Let's put it that way.
That is for sure. Well, we'll see what happens next week. Thank you for listening. As always, my name's Ryan Jones. You can find us always at Bachelor Podcast on all socials. And Matt Munson, thank you for joining us again. A very unique
Thanks for having me.
Experience here that you had on The Bachelor, Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise.
Put Katie's Instagram out there, too, because everybody should go see the newborns.
That's true. So, but I do want to say Matt_Munson.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
On Instagram. Make sure you go and check out, because your food dishes just look incredible.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Glad somebody noticed.
Of course. How could we not? So Katie, who, if you've been listening for any length of time, has been our main co-host here for a while, since the beginning. She gave birth to her twins fresh off of last week's recording. I actually opened up my phone after we recorded, and I had the text from her husband saying that the babies were here.
Cool, very
and,
exciting.
Yeah, so it's you can go to @thekpdubs. The dubs is for weight.
Love that.
And so she had two girls, Eleanor Ellie Mary, who's 4 pounds, 6 ounces, and Riley Catherine, 4 pounds, 10 ounces.
Wow, great job with They're the both names. Home. Those are beautiful.
They're both healthy. They're both happy. She actually just sent me a picture of them sleeping at their doctor's appointment. So look at those. I mean, come on.
Look
at those faces.
You got to see these pictures.
So go. Make sure you
beautiful
go.
Beautiful little girls.
And check that out, because twins are the best. So @thekpdubs. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.